Good evening, everyone. I hope we're all well this evening. But why are we here? We're here because it's Easter, obviously, Nevin. But why do we have Easter? Why is it such a significant part of our lives? Why is it that we, every year for the past 2,000 years, people gather together to remember this specific time of the year? Most people know the answer because they went to Bible school or they grew up in Western society. Jesus is the answer. And that is true, but there is more to it. And so Easter is a big story, one that involves the death of Christ, but one that also involves his resurrection from the dead. This evening we are not going to focus on the resurrection part. You'll have to come on Sunday for part two. As we focus on the resurrection on Sunday. But we don't want to miss that part out. Because if all we had was the death of Jesus, we would still be pretty stuck. We would be still stuck in the mire of sin, death, decay, and in a dark world of hopelessness. So it's because of the resurrection that we celebrate on Sunday that we can see the true depth and significance of his death. And so why is his death significant? Why does his death have significance? And in order for us to understand that, I know some people here didn't grow up in church, some people might not know the story, but in order to understand his significance and specifically his death, we have to realize that Jesus didn't just come from nowhere. He didn't just appear randomly in history to some random nation by chance. God just rolled the dice and was like, ah, Israel, that's the one. Or we'll just chuck him there. And then he can live and he can die over there. That's all good. But there's actually a purpose and a design in his coming. The timing of his coming, the heritage that he has, being the son of David, all of this is significant for his death. And specifically, the first passage that I read out at the start of this evening talked about how Jesus came into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover with his disciples. And for those that don't know, quick history recap, Passover was another celebration. And if you haven't caught on, Christians, we like to celebrate things. Passover was a celebration in Israel that looked back on their history. And a key component of their history was that for many years they were stuck in slavery to the Egyptians. And Passover is a festival, it's a feast whereby the Jews would gather, they would eat, and they would celebrate that God, all those years ago, freed them from the Egyptians, freed them from the bondage of slavery. Though we have not experienced slavery ourselves, we can easily imagine the horrors and the difficulty of slavery. We read it about in our history books and our classes. We can imagine what it would be like to have no freedom, to be fully submitted to evil people lording over you. We can imagine that. Not in an experiential way, but in an intellectual way. And so Israel, they looked back to this, and God miraculously brought them out of that place. He, through his own miracles, bringing 10 plagues, raising up Moses, freed the Israelites, and God single-handedly destroyed the Egyptian army without the Israelites having to do much. All the Israelites were called to do was to sacrifice a lamb and to paint its blood on its doorpost, on their doorposts, and God's spirit would pass over them, saving them and slaying the others. And so this is what Passover means. And so Jesus comes into Jerusalem at this time to celebrate Passover with his disciples, this enormous victory of God freeing his people from slavery. And again, this is no accident on the part of Jesus. He comes in at this time because he is going to reveal the greater meaning of Passover. He is going to use Passover to point to the greatness of what is to come. And so as we read the scripture, as we see Jesus dying on the day of preparation, what we see is an affirmation that Christ himself becomes the new Passover lamb. We see that in the Passover, this temporary freedom from slavery from the Egyptians that the Israelites experienced was just a physical thing, and it was a temporary thing. The Israelites would go back into slavery in the future. And all of this was to point to the fact that they needed something more. They needed something more than just temporary freedom again and again and again. We need something more concrete. We need something everlasting to free us from slavery. And so Jesus used this feast as the background of his death to signify that he was the Passover lamb by which that God was going to free his people from slavery again. But this time, instead of just being one nation that was to be freed from slavery, he was going to free everyone. He was going to free the whole world from slavery. And some of you might be sitting here thinking, Nevin, what are you talking about? We're not in slavery, silly. I came here tonight on my own volition. No one told me to come. I'm a free man. I'm a free woman. Maybe not a free child. Maybe mum and dad dragged you here. So maybe that doesn't work out there too well. But most of us, we think, we're not slaves. We're free. I can do what I want. If I want to be an architect, I can do that. I can go study, become an architect, and give it a go. And it'll be fine. But the scripture tells us that that is not the case. That in fact, is just an idea that we have of ourselves. We read in Romans chapter 6. And again, for those that don't know, this is another book in the Bible, written by one of the apostles who saw the risen Jesus. And he writes to this church in Rome, these Christians, to remind them of the gospel, the story of Jesus' death, resurrection, and what it means for them. He's reminding them of its significance. And this is what he says. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Either sin, which leads to death, or of obedience to God, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you now get leads to sanctification, and in its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What Paul is saying here, who wrote that passage, is that whether we like it or not, we are either a slave to sin or we are a slave to God. There is only two options in this life. There is no neutrality. There is no you are your own master. There is no third party. You're either a slave to sin or a slave to God. And I know talking to some people, when you talk about the gospel, you talk about Jesus, they can think, oh, but I'm living this free life right now. But you want me to come to this Jesus person and start serving and obeying all these rules. But that is a huge misconception. What the gospel is really saying is that you are not free in your sin. You are a slave to sin. People with their uncontrolled appetites for greed, for sexual desire, sell themselves over to their sin. So much so that people now lose their entire identity and mark their entire identity by a particular sin. How lost, how broken you must be to look at yourself in a mirror and just see a particular sin. You are not free in that sin. You are so bound by it that it is the only lens that you often see yourself through. That is not freedom. And Paul goes on to say, where does that lead? What does that road of slavery to sin, of pursuing your own desires, pursuing the deceitful ways of the world? The end road is death. And this isn't just physical death that we're talking about. We are talking about a spiritual death, a spiritual separation from God, where the rest of your life, the rest of your eternity is spent in darkness, away from him and his life and his beauty. And now, I don't know for you, but that doesn't seem like a great option. But the beauty of Easter is that Christ came, that Christ died to be that Passover lamb, that we might be free. To set us free from slavery to sin, that we might come to serve God, to know God, to have his life and his life abundant. Freedom from chains. Freedom from being crippled by evil desire. Freedom to be who you were created to be. Released in Christ to reach the fulfillment of all that you were called to be and do in this world. And not only that, the end goal of that is eternal life. Dwelling in perfect harmony with God, who loves you, who has made a way for you. That you might not be consumed by sin, but instead that you would be filled with life. And so I just have two challenges for us. For those that do not know Jesus this evening, who may have heard of the story of Easter many, 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 many times, or maybe this is your first time hearing of it, the simple challenge is, will you accept this offer of freedom? Again, when the Israelites were freed from slavery to Egypt, Moses wasn't there with his staff poking them out, making sure they all left. They had to pack up their stuff. They had to say, this is the way that God has made and I am going to walk in it. They had to follow what God was calling them into. And so again, the offer is, will you accept this freedom? Do you want to be free from addiction? Free from the chains that hold you? That is in your hands. Christ has made that way for you. But if you are a believer here, I just want to encourage us with a challenge as well. Why would we go back under a yoke of slavery? Why would we, knowing the freedom that Christ has brought us, the life that Christ has brought us, the fullness that he has given us, why would we in our lives want to go all the way back? To allow sin to put its chains back on us. It has no power over you if you are in Christ this evening. The chains are gone. You have been set free. We just sang it before. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so if you're a believer, don't think that being under the yoke of sin, being under the slavery of sin, the mastery of sin is normal, is good. If you are a believer and you're struggling with that, you can come during the time of prayer for freedom, that you would experience that freedom again. We are told to throw off the sin that so easily tries to entangle us. It tries to entangle us, and we as believers need to reaffirm in ourselves, Christ died to set me free. Christ died to set me free. That needs to be the affirmation of our heart, the affirmation of our mind, and the way that we walk. And so there's a challenge for both of us, whether we know Christ or we don't know Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you that you are our creator and that you are also our redeemer, Lord. We thank you that you sent your Son to die, that he would die and would rise again so that we can say, I am free. Lord, we thank you that we can say that Christ lives in me. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would move in this time now. As we reflect, as we pray, we just pray that you would do what you need to do, Lord, in this place. We invite you and we welcome you, and we just surrender all of this to you. And we just ask, just as Jesus did, that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.